This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Armor of God telecast. You must accept our apology. You know, we do these programs, all of us who are presenters here on the Armor of God telecast, and we just take for granted, we make an assumption that you are familiar with the instrument that we use in all of our presentations. What instrument is that, you might say? Well, it's what we call the good book, the Bible. This is quite a thick book, as you can see, and therefore it is subject to many interpretations, but one of the biggest assumptions that one might have about the Bible is that everyone is familiar with it. That is, they can readily access the scriptures that you might refer to. They know whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And you just have to accept our apologies for some of you who watch the Armor of God just are not that familiar with the Word of God. You know that it is reported to be the Word of God. You know it's called the Bible or the Holy Bible. But really, how familiar are you with this instrumentality? Because the more you are aware of it, the more proficient you become in its use, the closer you can become to Almighty God. And that really is our intent, to draw you into a relationship with Him. So today's program is going to put an accentuation on the good book. That's what it's called, and you see it in old-time movies where they all refer to the good book. The good book was used in times past and even now by families to keep a family record of births and deaths and marriages and all of that. I just had the opportunity to present to my youngest daughter a Bible with her name on it and so forth, and in it has this section of material that she will be able to fill out with her children and their matriculation through life, including their marriages and births and all of those kinds of things. But in addition to that, the words that are in this book, whatever translation you might prefer, are life-changing words. Now, the Bible, you say. I'd like to first emphasize what we're going to be offering in today's program so that you can gain some further material in helping you understand the Bible. The first is a booklet written by Lord Carey entitled, How to Study the Bible. Now, there are all kinds of methodologies for studying the Bible, and you can find different resources that will assist you in that, but we want to give to you a booklet that has been thought out and planned and presented to you for that purpose. So will you not take advantage, make that toll-free call to receive that booklet, How to Study the Bible, and a sermon I gave many years ago entitled The Bible's Best Story. That will go into the issue of salvation, how it comes to us, and the Bible's best story is relative to the issue of salvation. So you can obtain these materials by making a toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. You can even call our home office at 903-939-2929 or stop by our website if you are navigating through the internet at www.cgi.org. You can make your requests known, contact us for more information about any number of things, but do make that call. Operators are standing by to help you now. The Bible is a fascinating book. It, first of all, purports to be the Word of God. Now, we know that there are other books that some view as holy elements, whether it is the Quran, whether it is the Book of Mormon as an additional testament, you might say, there are other documents that exist out there that people have will give credence to, recognize it as being significant in the lives of people who follow the dictates that you find in those books. But the Bible has survived great effort to destroy it. The Bible, well, it just contains a lot of history and prophecies and then practical Christian living principles, life-altering things that you should be aware of. So when you view the armor of God, which is a concept that comes right out of the pages of your Bible, in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we use the Bible as our foundation for anything that we say and anything that we do. Now, that's a confession, yes, but we also want you to be well-versed in what is in this book, hence, how to study the Bible. Now, there's a passage that shows up in what we call the Old Testament. Its legitimate and more accurate name would be the Hebrew Bible. And I'll point that out later on when we read a particular New Testament text relative to the Word of God, or what we call the Bible. But back in the book of Isaiah, there's a statement made by God through Isaiah that I think will have a bearing on how some of us have problems with understanding the Word of God because of how it is constructed. It's not written in a story flow in that sense where it's just verse after verse that just leads chronologically through to the final subject. No, there's a little here and a little there, and that sometimes an obscure statement is brought to light in another passage of the Scriptures. Here's what Isaiah wrote. Whom shall he teach knowledge? This is referring to who the Messiah, the coming Christ, whom shall he teach? Who is this prophet that is to come? Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he have made known to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept. That is, the people that are going to grow and to understand the will of God, the mind of God, the purpose of God, have to build upon precepts. A precept here, a precept there. One of the greatest places in the Bible for precepts is the book of Proverbs, for instance. All of those sayings either thought up or penned by Solomon or collected by Solomon. They are precepts. It goes on to say, precept upon precept, line upon line. Do you see the repetitive nature of these statements? Why? Because it's something over here, something there. You put those things together and you get a complete picture of what God is attempting to communicate through His Word. It says, a little, here a little, and there a little. Then a statement is made that you will find repeated in the New Testament, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Many people are frustrated when they pick up the good book. Most people get stuck back here in Genesis when it starts talking about, if you have a King James translation, the begets. And so begat this one, and so begat that one. And it goes through these genealogical records, and your eyes kind of glaze over, you kind of fall a little weary, and you stop somewhere in the book of Genesis. Now, if you are proficient enough in the Bible, you can go to various biblical stories and extract some nuggets out of those stories. Or you just may be a New Testament person who does not know that most of the New Testament is quoted from what we call the Old Testament. Not new stuff, old stuff. And that is a difficult thing to comprehend because there are people, followers of Christ, they claim, who insist that the New Testament is all that's important. Well, I suggest to you that all of this is important and that there really is no distinction between the Old and the New Testament, not how we make it in our theological approach. But let me suggest that if you read this passage, that you can obtain from the Word of God something from here, something from there, something from another place, and when it's put all together, you have a complete picture or a clearer picture of what God is attempting to communicate. Now, when he suggests that by putting it together the way he did, it will cause people to stumble and fumble and, as it says, fall backwards, be broken, snared, and taken, it's for the person who perseveres in their study that you are brought to a place of comprehension, not stumbling and fumbling. How do I know this is true? Well, look back in the book of Psalms, in that massive, longest chapter in the Old Testament, longest chapter in the Bible, for that matter, Psalm 119. The way this psalm is constructed, it is constructed by the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the 22 sections contain 8 verses apiece, which give you this acrostic presentation, and it gives you this powerful presentation of each verse of each section following the Hebrew alphabet, which are 22 letters total. In the section that is called Nun, in verse 105 of Psalm 119, here's what we read about the Word of God. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, when this was penned, what word was that? Well, essentially it was the Torah and the histories that involved the kings and the chronicles and so forth. But think about the majesty of this statement. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, this is supposed to be a lightening of the path, not a darkening of the path. So if you say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand how it's laid out. I don't understand its purpose. Well, you're supposed to understand it. But there are ways by which that can happen. For instance, later in this same psalm in verse 133, it says, "Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps, guide my path, show me the way I should go, in your word." Now, that's quite a request of the writer of this particular psalm. But it's consistent with anyone who wants to know the will of God, the purpose of God, why human beings are on the earth, why things are like they are, if there is a Jesus, when is he coming back to the earth? I heard about the first coming. Is there a second coming? All of that is here in this book. But in addition to that, over in the New Testament, that's what we call it, the Novum Testaratum, in 2 Timothy, I didn't lapse into speaking in the tongues there, I just gave you a little Latin, Novum Testaratum, that's New Testament in Latin. But the concept of the Bible being the inspired Word of God comes from this verse here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, where it says, "All Scripture, all of the good book, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." There are 4 profitable things about the Word of God: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, if you are availing yourself of any of those elements, the Word of God is a good place to start. But here's a little nuance that you might have missed. When Paul wrote this personal letter to the young evangelist named Timothy, and he said to him, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," he was not including the letter that he wrote to Timothy. In fact, he was not including any of the New Testament writings. In principle, the statement he makes applies to that. But his application at the time he wrote it was referring to what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. Did you get that? That's really vital to understand, because what Paul does here is elevate the importance of what we call the Old Testament. Now, when you call something old, well, you know, that old basketball player, that old football player, means they are retired, they're on their last leg, they need to be put on the shelf. What value do you have anymore? You can't cut it like you used to. Old, you know, antiquated, archaic. Well, that's why the title of Old Testament is a misnomer, very much misdirected and misguiding in its intent. So when Paul says that all Scripture, including what we call the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, in his scenario of something that is inspired of God, you need to know what that's about. You need to understand some of the concepts, the precepts that show up in what we call the Old Testament, and not just depend on the New Testament for your understanding of who God is. How profitable is the Old Testament? Well, it's profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, and profitable for instruction in righteousness. You can learn all of that and come to know all of that because it's vitally important that you comprehend this book, and it is understandable. It is to be known, not clouded and shrouded. You can actually ask God, as the psalm we read about ordering my step, that was a request. Order my steps, direct my path, let your word be a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Show me the way I should go. That's the purpose of the good book. And what a book it is, because there are some fantastic stories in here that will bring you great illumination. Now, Paul had the occasion, again, of writing to a church, the church in Rome. And he takes time in the presentation that he makes, and it's Paul's most authoritative, most insightful presentation of his theological ideas, presenting to the Roman church a mixture of people, both Jews and Gentiles, with different experiences of life, but with a common focus and a common purpose manifesting itself. In chapter 10 of the book of Romans, here's what we read. But what say you? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I know many churches that are called the Word of Faith. There's a big church in the suburbs of the city of Detroit called Word of Faith. That's the name of their church, and it's taken from this particular text because they are trying to indicate that we live by the Word of God, which improves or increases our faith. And I'm saying that that is not the purview of just one congregation. That's available to every believer. And I know that many of you who watch the Armor of God telecast feel that you are either a believer or on the path to becoming a believer. And so I'm suggesting that the words that Paul wrote to the church at Rome will have a bearing on you. Here's what he says, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's a process we must submit to. And one of the greatest aspects of the process we submit to is learning the Word of God. He continues, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But if you don't know what you can confess with your mouth, if you don't know what you can put within your heart by studying the Word of God, then you don't know. But Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The purpose of emphasizing the importance of studying the Word of God and becoming more proficient at it is so that you can have available to you a conviction of being a person who lives by the Word of faith. It says in verse 11, for the Scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here's the rub. Here's the distinction about calling upon the name of the Lord. You may not know what his name is. And we have lots of controversy about the sacred name issue. If I called Jesus Yeshua in the Hebrew language, it would still be Jesus in a different language. Having a relationship with Jesus is the important thing really not the phonetic sounding of his name, and I know that is controversial with some folk. However, to call upon the name of God requires that we know who he is, why he is, what he is, and the purpose for which he came into the world, and to the purpose that he wants to have a relationship with us. But here's what Paul goes on to say. And having made these statements about hearing and confessing and all of that, here is the profound statement. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Every week, the armor of God comes into your home with preachers. Everyone whom you hear or see on the armor of God is a minister of Jesus Christ. And so we come into your homes or into your place of business or into the hospital rooms or into the penitentiaries, wherever you might be viewing us. You might be viewing us online. You might be viewing us through Word Network or some other outlet available to you. What is it that we want from you? Well, we want you. Jesus sent us as commissioned into the world to save people from sin, to bring sinners into the saved category, not the lost category. And as a result of it, you must hear the Word of God in order to believe it. And you must study the Word of God in order to know it. And preachers are sent to share the Word of God with you. I've shared just a few selected texts for you today to encourage you to want to know more about the Word of God and what it means for you. The final text that I want to use here is found in Matthew, the 4th chapter. You can also find the parallel over in Luke, the 4th chapter. But Matthew 4 is where Jesus Christ is confronted by Satan the devil. This is after Jesus had been baptized, and he's now begun his ministry of preaching the gospel as a witness and a warning to the world. He is confronted by Satan, the devil himself, with a magnificent challenge. In the 4th chapter, in verse 1, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after the hunger. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned to bread." Now, some people could say, well, you know, if you had faith, you could turn stones to bread. Yeah, well, that's what faith says. But Jesus understood the nuance of what Satan was attempting to do. And so here's his response to what Satan suggested. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Friends, this good book is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And as a result of realizing that, you need to know it. Do you realize that if Jesus had not known the word or the scriptures, he couldn't have said, "It is written"? Friends, my appeal to you today is to know the Word of God. It's going to get you out of many situations and circumstances. It's going to have you be able to identify who is a true purveyor of the truths of the Bible and who is not, who is rightly dividing the Word of truth and who is mishandling it. Won't you take time to make that toll-free call today to receive the free material that we're offering, How to Study the Bible. And in addition to that, The Bible's Best Story. Both of these items will be yours absolutely free, as usual, no charge, no commitment that you have to make aside from just getting this material and reviewing it in your own home. We want you to know the words of the Bible. We want you to have a relationship with the good book. So make the call now. Why don't you stay tuned, listen to what is to follow, and I'll see you next time here on the Armor of God.
Friends, on today's telecast, Mr. James brought up some very poignant items, didn't he, for our consideration. I wanted to bring another one up for your consideration over here in the same book that he was at in 2 Timothy, but chapter 2, verse 15. Paul writes to this young evangelist in verse 15, chapter 2, 2 Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved," he writes, "unto God, a workman
that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And let me remind you what Mr. James pointed out in the next chapter, chapter 3 over there about verse 16, where he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, it's no secret, my friends, here on the armor of God, as Mr. James pointed out as well, we here hold this document in very high regard. All of our presentations are premised on the information in this Middle Eastern document, both Old and New Testaments. Now, I know that presumes a certain amount of acceptance. And you may say, well, yeah, that's right, Bill, it does, and I don't accept it, you know? I'll give you that. That's okay. That's all right, because I understand that. I was like that at one time in my life as well. But let me ask you something. What if I came up to you there in your street, in your neighborhood, at your home, perhaps called you up on the telephone and said, hey, I've got some information for you, and this information will better help assure you of improved interpersonal relations, a happier marriage, kids that obey you and are respectful to other adults. It will perhaps improve the potentialities for you to have better health and a more successful career. I mean, wouldn't you at least give me the time of day and say, well, yeah, tell me some more? I mean, I would think that if you would resist that, that would be as nonsensical as a thirsty man who's been out in the desert for a couple of weeks refusing water when someone offered it to him finally. My friends, won't you let us help you drink in this information? Dial now, 888-578-8791, and ask for the free offers that we're providing on this program. About a one-hour presentation by Mr. James himself, who goes into more detail concerning this very subject, titled, The Bible's Best Story. You've got to get this presentation on CD only, by the way. No more tapes. We've entered finally the 21st century. But also, don't forget, too, about the How to Study the Bible booklet. That is also a very easy booklet. Probably could read it in one sitting. Not very thick, but gets to the point and very cogent to the information Mr. James presented today. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Our website at www.cgi.org. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we often do, keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.